two. Wait, why is that there? Two, one.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Mobile low bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your mobile device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geekio for more information. That rockin' I Fight Dragons beat means nothing more than the Small Screen Spoiler Show is back on the air for episode number 2, recorded February 3rd, 2015. I'm CJ, only my friends call me Fish Boat, and he's Jared. How can one be both business and casual as a Vito?
Oh, yeah. We're here. And how can one be both business and casual?
That is a very fine question. I had a different name for you. I had two, actually. I had two written down.
Put them in there. So you hadn't put them in there, so I jumped on it before you did. Since you did them last week, I was going to take a turn.
Fair enough. I was going to put clear... what was the one I was going to put for you? I can imagine strange women tramping through the property isn't anything unusual for you. Or a little bit more blue. Take a shower. You got the smell of pussy on you.
I don't remember. Oh. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I don't remember that quote in Oh, True Detective. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, True Detective. All right.
I remember that quote. It came back to me.
And this is Small Screen Spoiler Show, where we are here to spoil you like the generous, generous person you are for the shows that you want to hear about. Just as a reminder, as obvious, we're going to spoil the shows listed and anything prior to the show's open game as well. So, example, if we're talking Season 2, Episode 13 of a show, 12 and beyond, or before that, it's completely open. We are going to try to not spoil the next on, though, because I know some people get sensitive about spoilers for things that they have not seen yet, even on previews. And we're here to respect that, but we're here to spoil you nonetheless, because you deserve it.
There may be some speculation.
Yes, wild speculation abound.
There's free speculation everywhere.
Yes.
And speculation is not a spoiler, people.
No.
Leave it be.
Let it go. This week, we are going to talk Sleepy Hollow, Season 2, Episode 13, Petuna Infamante. We're going to talk Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 3, Time and Tide, much easier to pronounce. We're also going to talk Gotham, Season 1, Episode 13, Welcome Back, Jim Gordon.
Welcome back.
And
welcome back.
Indeed. And we...
you all remember.
And our spoiler shows for Jazz, Arrow, and for me, True Detective. Get on those a little bit later. See, I have things this week that are over on that side, that one right there.
Yes.
Right?
Because we had a listener request that we put up, in the video feed at least, little overlays of title cards of the shows we're talking about. So if you wanted to skip ahead while you're watching the video, you can just skip to where, you know, that thing isn't on the screen anymore, and there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't have to be spoiled.
I would do time codes, but one, I don't know how to do that, and two, from what I've heard from the people who do know how to do that, that is incredibly hard. So... I'm not going to do that.
TJ does not like doing work, so...
we got
that little feature for all you video people, for the audio listeners, sorry. Yeah, you're out of luck.
Exactly. But, you know, if you're audio, fair enough. You've been warned those are the three shows we're going to talk about. All right, where's my mouse? There's
starting
my mouse.
With...
Sleepy Hollow. Nope, that's the wrong one. Sleepy Hollow, Season 2, Episode 13, Petura Infamante, because... You know, Sleepy Hollow.
Which, did anybody look up what that means?
It's Infamante is infamous.
Picture?
I don't know.
In this picture, painting?
Possibly.
Hold on. Can Google translate? Just keep talking. I'll look this up.
No problem. I'm actually going to go over a little bit of the show here from the IMDb on it because, well, I don't remember exactly. I'll give you the official script. After a mysterious death of an art restorer of Sleepy Hollow Historical Society's soiree, Ichabod and Katrina are reminded of a dear friend in the past, Abigail Adams. Meanwhile, Abby is shocked at someone's visit to the police district precinct. I think I watched the wrong episode.
Well, it sounds like, Abigail Adams was in there, yeah.
I think I watched the wrong episode. Hold on, let me see what the next episode is. Yeah, I watched the next episode.
Way to go, CJ. Way to skip an episode.
So I have no idea what happens in this episode of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, you want me to spoil it for you?
Spoil away, my friend.
All right, so Sleepy Hollow, Pittura Infamante, which I looked up is Italian for infamous painting.
There you go.
There you go. It's about, let's see, it's one of those classic episodes where you need two characters to spend some time together to work something out. So you take them and stick them in a situation and then trap them in a small area and force them to work out things while other stuff is going on.
Gotcha.
Like the fly episode in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
A lot of people hate that episode. I actually think it's really great.
I love that episode. It is brilliant.
That episode's fantastic. mostly just because it's kind of that whole, it just really showcases the acting of both those two actors. And
yes.
Having Walt and Jesse trapped in a room for an entire episode. But in this situation, I just forgot, Ichabod and his wife need to work out their differences, so they're going to go have a date night at the museum, and there's this painting there that, while the restorer was restoring it, started bleeding, and then all of a sudden he gets murdered and is hung upside down in like a tarot card painting thing. Don't remember the card, but you know, that's the gist of it.
Okay.
So then they have a little whodunit trapped inside of this museum and find out that, you know, the painting's evil, haunted forever, and it was all about this murder from the past that was trapped in this painting by, yep, you guessed it, Katrina's coven. Because every time it's always related to Katrina's coven. And her friend Abigail Adams, who was investigating the murders.
Was that the little black girl from the past, or
Abigail Adams?
Yes,
as in John Adams' wife.
Oh, Abigail Adams.
Wait, no. Yeah, John Adams. That was the second president, right?
Yes, John Adams and John Quincy Adams came later.
No, Abigail Adams, as in John Adams' wife.
Oh, okay.
Who apparently they really, really are trying to be Buffy, and Abigail Adams is portrayed by none other than Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, wow. I might have to go back and watch this episode then. I have a huge crush on her.
I mean, she's not in there a ton, and I didn't really recognize her at first because I hadn't, you know.
Oh, she grew up.
And she's older.
She definitely grew up.
She's older and looks very different. Well, not different enough. I kept looking at her and I was like, she's familiar. And then the, you know, opening credits, I was like, Michelle Trachtenberg's in this episode? Where is she? Okay. I put it all together now. But they really brought in the spooky in this episode. Like, they cranked it up, like, a couple of notches. And, because the last one felt kind of silly, and it kind of had that Buffy-ish, goofy-looking demons and whatnot.
Yes.
But this one was just, like, crazy serial killer guy who is always covered in blood for whatever reason. I guess because he lives inside of an evil haunted painting.
That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, and there's, like, a doorway, and, you know, through the painting, and they jump in, and madness ensues. And meanwhile, Abigail, what's his name? Frank, Orlando's character.
Yeah.
What's his name? Frank. He shows up at the precinct, turns himself in, and he's like, I don't remember that I died, and here I am. So what's up? And she's like, you might be evil, so I'm just going to leave you here until we figure out if you're evil or not. Because last time
that explains so much. I'm not gonna say anything, but that explains
so much. Last
time
you came back, somebody came back from the dead. And terrible, terrible things happened. So, we're just gonna make sure you're not evil. Don't spoil that for me, because I have that to watch.
That explains so much.
But you get some really good Orlando Jones glares.
Oh, those are the greatest.
And, you know, it's like the death glare.
Yes.
I'm looking at you. Abigail, I'm alive. Glare, 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 glare. Which leads Abigail to bring in, you know, Frank's wife. And says, here's the deal. Remember how I said that he died and there was all this crazy demonic stuff going around Sleepy Hollow and et cetera, et cetera. His wife's like, okay, well, he's not dead. And his wife takes it interestingly well. It wasn't quite too believable in that one, but okay, sure. She just takes it and rolls with it.
I literally have nothing to say at all on this, because anything I say is going to spoil the hell out of the next episode for you. And, I feel so stupid.
check that episode number next time, CJ.
Well, I just watched it on my DVR, and I'm just like, hey, there's an episode of Sleepy Hollow that has been unwatched and is over a week old. Click.
I'll go watch it. It's a pretty good episode. It's entertaining. It's very self-contained because, you know, Ichabod and his wife solve the crime and help restore their relationship a little bit.
They're doing a proper first half of a season this time around, and they're getting to the second act of it. I still stand by the fact that they're taking a very Whedon-esque approach to the season. Mm-hmm. By going, you know, a strong, you know, consequences, and then, an extended Whedon season, because obviously when Whedon was doing TV shows, he was only doing, you know, 13-episode seasons, and they're doing a proper, you know, consequences, and then going into the second act, which is, you know, leading up to, but not really connecting to the final plot, and then the last few episodes of the season are doing a final plot, which I like better than what they did in the first season of plot, 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 plot.
Well, then, you're going to be happy to hear this, because I went and was reading some background about this episode, and apparently the producers of the show and the suits and whatnot were like, ratings were not super great, and they're kind of trailing off, so we're going to take away this whole serialized aspect of the show with, you know, an entire season being one story, and we're going to kind of make it more individual, self-contained episodes, and maybe a kind of overarching connecting thread throughout them.
Good.
Which I'm glad you like, because I'm kind of sad to see the serialized stuff go away. Except for the fact that this isn't a 13-episode season. Because you don't do that unless it's 13 episodes or less.
Yes. The serialization of it is fine when, yeah, but doing it over a 22-episode season, that gets rough. And shows have fallen really hard because of the fact that they can't keep up the steam.
Do it all right. Like 24, I'm sure did it okay. Lost did it okay sometimes. Sometimes not. I don't know. You don't like Lost, but I love Lost.
Oh, sorry.
Stop it.
I'll tell you what, I liked Lost more than Twin Peaks.
Is there anything you like less than Twin Peaks?
Dora the Explorer.
Okay.
I'm sure there are. We'll go with, season 2 of The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nobody likes that from what I hear.
No.
That's why I gave up after the first season.
Yeah, first season, brilliant. Second season, oh my god, it never fucking ended. It never ended.
I loved, like, the first two episodes. And then after that, it was just kind of, and then everybody's like, oh, season 2 is so god-awful. I'm like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, season 3 was kind of wishy-washy. Like, the first half of the season was very, very consequences of season 2, which I didn't enjoy. So I didn't enjoy the first half of the season. And... like, the second half of the season was okay, but just okay, and by that point, I'm like, I've given it 3 seasons of my time. I'm no longer able to do this.
One more. And you didn't watch the episode, so this will not make sense to you, but my one issue with this episode is there's Katrina was friends with Abigail Adams, and they have Abigail Adams' old desk in the museum where it's been restored. And, like, she has this flashback of where the secret door inside of the desk is and pulls out this, you know, magical information that solves everything for everybody. I'm like, really? This desk that's hundreds of years old, been restored, nobody ever found that secret panel?
Nobody. Of course. It was that secret.
Yes, it is super secret.
Illuminati.
And the people who restored the desk did not notice these historical documents in there. So, anyway. Enjoy that episode now that you know everything about it.
And the consequences of it. That's the biggest thing, is not only am I spoiled on this episode, I'm spoiled because of the consequences that happen next episode.
Wait a minute. When did that happen?
No, that's why I'm like, I don't remember anything leading up to this point, but that doesn't really surprise me anymore with this show.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it did kind of take out the whole thing where they explained to her wife, or his wife, that he had died in this terrible thing. But
yeah, I'm just
they kind
like,
of, like, revisit it and say, yeah, you remember how I told you all that stuff? It's like, we didn't actually show that, but just in case.
Yeah, well, they bring in his wife, and she's all, like, freaked out at him because of the whole thing here. I'm like, did they tell her something, or did she kind of just get that off-screen knowledge? Huh. Okay.
I don't know. They established that in the episode that you didn't watch. Don't worry.
Yay! I promise I watched the next two because I watched them on Hulu.
On Hulu? I thought yes. You didn't watch anything on Hulu anymore.
I freaking hate Hulu so much. I only watched them there because I didn't have it. didn't have an option.
I know. It's my right, necessary so evil.
You have any notes for the episode?
Later makes it a little less painful. Nope, I'm ready.
All right.
Let's Carter it up.
Yes. Get on to the good stuff here. Agent, that's still Sleepy Hollow. There we go. Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 3, Time and Tide. I have notes on this one. But first,
actual
written notes. And let me tell you, I didn't like that at all.
That's fine. To each his own. I like the paper.
Well, my handwriting is absolute garbage. Like,
well, yeah, so is mine. I think it's just it's part of our what makes us who we are.
Yeah,
just our terrible handwriting.
Okay.
All of us in the IT field seem to have terrible handwriting. I don't know.
It's because we type so much.
Huh, that makes sense.
It's like our writing muscles become atrophied after a while.
I don't know, I've never had good writing muscles.
Me either. I was always, you're going to be a doctor when you grow up. Hey, I vamped enough to be able to get to the show description for this one. As Agent Carter closes in on Howard Stark's stolen technology, Peggy's secret mission could unravel when the SSR arrests Jarvis and a secret is revealed.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. So, starts off with dude crawling up and Agent Carter.
Kind of great. Oh, great, yeah. Opening scene.
Point the gun at him. Clearly, you don't know the rules of the house.
Is this 5C? Next window.
That was great. It was so great.
Sometimes I don't like the old switcheroo, but that one actually made me chuckle. And
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
So through the episode, I mean, you have something that wasn't really ever touched on in the last two episodes. I actually rewatched this, as you could tell from last week's show. I had watched this episode already, but it was 3 weeks ago, and I didn't feel like doing what I did with Sleepy Hollow last week with this show. So
well,
apparently,
you watched this one twice, and Sleepy Hollow is not at all.
Yes,
so,
exactly. So. Apparently, I just cannot do Sleepy Hollow right.
It's okay.
So, yeah, I rewatched this one, so it's fresh in my memory. And this time I took notes because the last time I watched it, I was on a plane. It was at like 10 o'clock at night, so. What's up with the guys from the SSR being racist against Italians?
I missed that.
Yeah, when they're going through the passports, they're like, American passport belonging to Frank Jones, British passport belonging to Neville Fancy Pants, and an Italiano passport written to Francisco Fuckerberga. Like, really? Really?
I remember that scene. Racist. I don't remember the racist Italian remark. That's since it's the 40s, 50s. And
yeah, I know.
Everybody's racist back then, right?
Yes, everybody is racist against everybody. And can I say, what they did really well in this episode, they really highlighted what the 40s felt like. Like, this was, the scenery in this was super well done.
Yeah, it really was.
Because, I mean, everything from the weird sorority house that Peggy's living in right now, with, you know, Nurse Ratchet and her former life there.
Yeah, yeah. And why are there only attractive women in that house?
Yeah, right?
Why are there no normal looking women?
A boarding house for only really hot models and their really horrible looking headmistress.
Yes. Apparently she only likes to surround herself with beautiful women.
Yeah, right? It's not a bad gig. But yeah, I thought that too. I'm like, wow, there are
men.
A lot of really hot women here. Not arguing. I honestly think, like, Jarvis is half English Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Because, like, he says something, he just, like, completely misses everything, like, and he just comes back with something completely inappropriate to the conversation. Brilliant.
Love Jarvis so much.
Oh, he's still the best part of this entire show. Don't get me wrong, I love Hayley Atwell, but he's so great, man.
Yes,
James
with
Darcy
each episode,
is just
a little better.
Yes,
like how can he get more awesome? Okay, he just did. Dang.
Yeah, and this episode you attach yourself to him.
Yeah, because you get to hear a little bit of his backstory and hear that. Oh, he's a good guy.
He is such a good guy. Like, he got himself discharged to save his wife. That is brilliant. Like, that is such a good, it's like super good guy. Like, he's amazing.
And then he whips out a New Jersey accent.
Yeah, right? What the hell?
Hey, Mac, I just saw some stuff down here, and, Jolly good.
Yeah.
I mean, crap.
it kind of puts the reason why he's married still, because obviously he feels that he owes his, like, he has to protect this woman no matter what. And obviously he's not super happy. There's this obvious sexual tension between Jarvis and Peggy that I don't know in the 8 episodes that are going to that we're going to have would ever come to blossom, or if it's going to just be that the entire time.
Nah, I don't see that happening, because I think that, I mean, unless they really want to screw with his character, but I don't feel any foreshadowing towards that.
I mean, I'm okay either way, but you are going to have to eventually address the feelings of the two together.
Yeah. And any theories on his wife? Because we never see her. Do you think we ever will see her? Is she somebody that we know, or someone of
comic? I'm thinking she might be a shout out. If it's not a direct, hey, we know that from Captain America or anything like that, then maybe a comic book reader. Maybe it'll be a comic book kind of pop. But I don't know.
Theorizing.
Yeah, I don't.
Or will she just remain the invisible wife?
I kind of hope not. I have a feeling that they're holding her off screen for a reason.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it just happens to be, hey, we couldn't find the right person to cast her, so we just have, like, a random producer offset screaming. Yeah, I think it's held off on purpose. So I think we will see her eventually, and it'll be a big deal. Like, either the person they have playing her, or like something like that. But I think before the 8 episodes are up, we'll see her.
Either that or
before she's killed horribly, and then that's what causes Jarvis and Carter to hook up, and then they have a baby, Carvis, and
baby Carvis.
Yes.
Like it.
So, pacing on this episode was a little bit more slowed down, and not in a bad way. Last 2 episodes were very, very point to point. Like, it was a headlong rush.
And that's probably just to pull you in and get things going.
Yeah, and I think most people would just call this episode flat out slow. I think it's accurately paced, especially for the time.
No, it didn't feel slow to me at all.
Oh, it definitely felt like there was a big drag on it, but again, not in a bad way.
Yeah, I didn't even notice it. So, It flowed just fine for me. Like, I really enjoyed this episode.
I got Jarvis. We get into Jarvis's past. He was a little bit of a bad boy for a good thing, though. The landlady, I feel, was a little bit out of place. Considering a lot of this show is about female empowerment, and most women that we have on screen are not, I say most, are not the stereotypes, especially for the time. You have even the roommate, the waitress, she's a mouthy little girl, and you didn't get that back in the 40s.
Yeah.
But for
a
show,
they're not all stereotypes. These are they aren't the housewives. They're single, supporting themselves, and you know, hoorah, woman power.
Yes.
Taking crap from men, but they're not happy about it.
I should not write giggled at, and I'll call. Oh, that's not what I meant to put. That's what I meant to put there. I'm going to talk about that later. There was an odd focus on Dottie.
Which one's Dottie? Is that
the new girl?
New girl.
Played by Bridget Regan, you know, another hot girl there. But there was an odd focus on her, like, where she would normally not even be put into, like, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But the camera lingered on her for just a little bit too long. And I say, so something's going to happen with her, because as Jazz has discovered, I know tropes. a little bit of peeking into my background. I've done television.
Trying to figure out who Dottie is.
It's the blonde girl that the
one that got kicked out?
No, the new one that Dolores Umbridge brought upstairs and was like, "Here's the new girl. One of you two should show her the ropes." And waitress lady got angry.
Yeah, and they were both kind of feeling awkward and then went inside. Gotcha.
Yeah, but a little bit of peek behind the curtain for me. I've done television production before, and I've studied film, so I know how to spy a lot of tropes. And the hanging on her for just that little bit longer means obviously she's not just going to be somebody who's going to be thrown away.
That sounds about right.
So I'm guessing Hydra/Leviathan spy.
Oh, he's calling it. He's putting it there, and he's usually right, people. Just so you know.
And no, I have not watched a single. I have not. This is the last episode I've watched. I promise. I have not watched anything above this episode. So I don't have any kind of future knowledge or anything like that. I'm just saying. I know tropes, and she's going to come back and play. And I'm guessing because we've had very little like direct at Peggy negativity. Like it just so happened to be circumstantial. A lot of it was circumstantial. I think this is going to be a targeted attack at Peggy from Hydra Leviathan.
Okay, and that conversation we just had brings me to this point. I can't remember anyone's names other than Peggy Carter and Jarvis. Like all the people that work at SSR with her, all of her roommates, and all the women, I cannot remember any of their names. I don't know why, but they just don't stick.
Yeah, I have a problem with them as well. That's the reason why I keep calling her extremely cute roommate. Waitress lady.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know the characters. There's the waitress lady. There's a friend. She has a name. I don't know what it is. There's the chief. There's the blonde kind of douchey guy that she works with. There's the guy with the crutch who's nice to her.
Victor.
He seems like a cool guy. Victor, okay.
Yeah, he's going to be Victor because he's Victor from Dollhouse. So if you ever hear me call him Victor, that's who I'm talking about, is Crutch Guy.
Okay,
Crutch guy is
and,
Victor.
And I feel like there's another SSR person who kind of has some screen time.
Dude, what got shot brutally?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ,
ready
man!
Ready to talk about Krasinski? See, yeah. I wrote his name down, so I would remember it. Krasinski.
Yeah, he. Oh my God, I'm surprised like they were able to draw such an emotional reaction from such a douchebag. Like,
yeah. I'll call his wife.
Call his girlfriend. I giggled at that. I giggled out loud. Even the second time I watched him, like, just that look of utter defeat on his face. Like, I'll call his girlfriend.
Now I've got to call his wife. I'll call his girlfriend.
Muttered under his breath with a little sigh. It was fantastic. It really also shows just how strong of a character Hayley Atwell is. Like, how strong of an actress she is. That. While obviously when her best friend and roommate gets killed in front of her, she has such a visceral response. But because of her actions, because of her bumbling, which is weird, by the way, This was her being really, like, off-step the entire episode.
Yeah, I think it's kind of playing into that she really wants to do it all by herself in her way, and it's kind of playing into that you know, you're going to have to ask for help.
Yeah, Victor, you have to ask for Jarvis and Victor and have the weird love triangle when probably Hydra Lady gets killed. But yeah, it just felt really awkward, and it might have been because there was no Jarvis in this episode, because he was detained the entire episode, that there was really nothing that nobody she could really rely on. And
that's true.
It shows that she's skilled, because that fight scene, by the way, I have a thing of looking at fight scenes really closely, because I like trying to see if it's a well makeup stunt person or if it's the actual person. It's the reason why I like Arrow, because, like, the main people that fight all are them. Steve Arnell, Diggle, Arsenal, all of them are all them. And you're not to Arsenal yet, but you'll get there.
yeah, it's fine. I don't care about spoiling Arrow for me. It's fine.
But I'm looking at this, and especially with her, because I'm like, she's such a tiny person. It's something that bothered me when I watched Buffy. Like, the very horrible, like, this is obviously not this person. I think Buffy once had a brunette stunt woman. It was crazy. But I cannot see a difference between Haley Atwell or an extremely well, like a doppelganger. So I think she might be doing most of her stunts, or at least her own fight scenes in this show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and they're good fight scenes. It's pretty solid choreography, and they look great. Yeah. And brutal.
But it just kind of shows...
muscle tank top man.
Yeah, right? She's extremely gifted. She's obviously knows what she's doing, but obviously she's still not the top of her gang. She's probably still... she's obviously still reeling from her, you know, the love of her life being killed.
There's that. And you don't get over Captain America.
You just don't. I mean,
there's no Captain America radio drama in this episode.
Yeah.
I kind of missed it. Not gonna lie.
They should do that every episode. This week on the Captain America radio drama.
So who do you think the shooter was?
I don't know. Maybe probably another weird... Jarvis? Probably. No, I don't think it was Jarvis.
Oh, he was kind of built out like Jarvis.
Yeah.
But I think Jarvis was with Peggy at the time, so...
Maybe another zombie guy from Leviathan.
Yeah, maybe another Leviathan dude.
Leviathan zombie. Because he died, and I was like, wow, they're really going to go that way about this whole thing.
Yeah, and that was very convenient for her.
Yeah, right.
Wow, okay. All the witnesses are dead. Okay.
Yes. No, I meant the fact that the guy from episode one had died before.
Oh, yeah. They had both died.
Yeah.
Both of them. And my only final note is, so the people that stole all the Stark stuff made a big hole, took it out into this tunnel, and then took it directly to the end of the tunnel and put it at a boat and left it on that boat at the end of the tunnel, even though this happened, what, like a month ago? And it's got it hanging out there in a boat?
Yeah.
Just hanging out there? Right,
yes.
Right at the end of the tunnel that they built? Man, these guys don't seem very sophisticated. But okay.
yet the technology has already been spreading. It's been weaponized already.
Yeah, yeah.
From the grenade that can be defused by a makeup kit.
Indeed.
That's all I had on that one, too. I really enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it was slower, but in a good way. Like, it was well-paced, well-acted, well-shot. I'm still really, really, really loving this season, loving this series.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'm very pleased with Peggy Carter. Agent Carter. Agent Carter.
All right. So.
Speaking of enjoying episodes.
Yeah. Let's move on
into. This last episode of Gotham was.
Gotham. Season 1, episode 13. Welcome back, Jim Gordon. I'm going to go right on the limit and say, this has been my favorite episode of this entire season.
Me too. I was like, wow, this is a good episode. They finally did it. It took them 13 tries, and they finally made a really good episode.
And, like, yeah, they actually beat out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on how long it took me to become invested in a series. Congratulations.
And they immediately drop off in the next episode, but at least, you know, everything that they built up, it, you know, they started paying it off, and it was actually good.
I mean, even Bruce Wayne, like, when he was on camera, went from that being that horrible kid, and then freaking the second Doctor's son's like, you know what, kid, shut the hell up and man up.
Yes.
Are you just going to sit here and cry over what could be? I'm like, oh my God, yes. You are awesome. I missed Alfred.
I'm not a fan of Bruce Wayne, but man, I'm glad to have Alfred back. That makes it worth it. Just if I can have Alfred back and him just being grumpy.
So grumpy Alfred. All the time.
You want me to get you a broom so you can sweep up all of your dashed dreams, you little pansy? Of course he does that in an awesome English accent the whole
time. Of course. And it was, and also, like, when he did that, though, like, the kid acting as Bruce was, like, actually, obviously, finally took hold, and, like, I could see an actual actor coming out for a couple of seconds, and then they cut away from him and never see him again. And the girl who played Catwoman, while she's been impressive the other time she's been on scene, she just kind of fell flat for me in this episode.
Yeah, me too. But she wasn't there for very long, so it was fine.
Kid actors, yay!
Yeah. Poor, Ivy's solid.
That
she's
poor
great
girl who plays Ivy. Yeah, $20. Well, you're awesome. So I have a couple notes on here, this one too. Not as many as Agent Carter, but mainly because I actually enjoyed this episode enough to be able to sit and watch it all the way through. I was going to also call you Laughing Fish because...
Laughing Fish. Crazy Fish?
Crazy Fish is crazy, man. She's so creepy.
Got Bob and Crazy Fish.
That's and Killer Bob! Killer Bob!
Killer Bob.
He said his name was Bob, but I instantly go, hey, it's Killer Bob! Not the actor, but it's a killer named Bob. Thank you, Twin Peaks.
No. Though it may just be a torturer. I'm not sure.
No, he's in a similar room to what Jim and freaking what's his face
Bullock
were put into, like, episode 2 or 3. So it was a similar room to that where she was going to be killed just slowly. But it was the guy who actually played the doll maker in Arrow. So I'm like, I know that guy. Where the hell is he from? Hey, it's a doll maker.
Crossover. That was interesting stuff. Fish going crazy, Killer Bob, and Bullock's grumpy again.
He's grumpy Bullock.
He's not as friendly and helpful as he was in the last episode or two. He's back to his grumpy.
But also strangely, like, melodramatic lover boy for Fish. It was weird.
That felt a little out of place, but I kind of
saw it coming, though. I don't know why I wrote this. It's in-house. Why is this surprising? I'm guessing because of the murderer?
The murderer was in-house. A cop did it.
I'm guessing that's the reason why I wrote that. Note to self. Do not write interstitial comments on your paper because you have no idea what the hell they mean.
Like old JD?
Yeah, old JD. Jim Gordon, man, in this episode, just on fire the entire episode.
Yeah, I know. Here it is, my note right here. I think I just started to care about Jim Gordon.
Yeah, I literally wrote the same thing. I think I'm actually starting to like Jim. That's literally what I wrote on my paper, too.
Just starting now. Because I love, like, he's just, you know, it's the same old intensity of, like, I'm going to solve it, and you're not, we're going to do the right thing, and blah, 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 which he's been doing the whole time. And this time, he's, like, he finally gave in and, like, went to the dark side and was like, can you do me a favor, you know?
Yeah, actually called in the favor from the Penguin, like.
Called in the favor from the dark side, and he's like, nobody gets hurt. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then, you know.
Nobody did. Legitimately, nobody did. He kept his word. He threatened people, but nobody got hurt.
Yeah, not physically, I suppose. Though I don't, being held in a bathtub underwater for a certain amount of times probably does some kind of physical damage.
Well,
the Penguin's henchmen, dude. Like that guy.
Man. Oh, man.
He's my favorite.
I like the hench. I'm thinking I'm starting to like the henchman a lot more than like
the... here, just go take my mom home and then go do this thing for me.
Okay.
And then the next thing, he's like holding the dude's wife in the bathtub and with a gun to his head. Are you going to tell me? Oh, I swear. Come on. Drops a bag on the desk. Like, what is this? That's a murder weapon and a tape of his confession. I'll see you later. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah,
just comes
right.
In and gets done.
Just drops a bag.
Drops a bag with a bloody ice pick in it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I like the henchmen. I'm starting to think a lot more than the mob bosses themselves because, like, Butch is
Fish's
great.
Guy.
Butch is awesome. Butch. Always awesome. And then there's Victor Zsasz. Victor Zsasz is oh my God. And like I said last week, Zsasz is one of my favorite villains in Batman because he is so unpredictable. He's so ruthless. And he's literally he's the ideal sociopath. And you finally start seeing that gleam in his eye that he's not just taking orders anymore. And I'm guessing by the end of the season, we're going to see the quote-unquote real Victor Zsasz come out.
Yeah, and you know, you see him be his brutal self, and he doesn't kill Butch. He takes him home to quote-unquote play with him.
Yeah, should we kill him or take him home to play? And then that look on his face, that like pure psychotic look on his face.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the Zsasz I want to see. Brutal, not caring.
This is the Zsasz we need.
Yes, exactly. And I think considering they're finally getting the characters where they should be. The Penguin finally has that bit of power that is eventually going to corrupt him. Absolutely, obviously, it already has begun, but he finally is in that place, and simultaneously being great and sniveling at the same time. Still,
yes, I know. Like, are we supposed to root for Penguin? Like, I can't figure it out. Like, sometimes I like him, sometimes I'm, like, annoyed by him.
Carol Kane is awesome, though! His mom is so good!
Crazy, crazy mama.
Well, it's Carol Kane. She's pretty much that character in everything that she does.
Yeah.
I just can't stand her accent, though. That's the only thing that I don't like. But other than that, like, I love Carol Kane. I love her in everything that she absolutely does. So I'm so happy to see her pop in every once in a while and just be crazy. I'm like, yes! Eat that scenery! Munch, 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 munch.
Eat crazy. Get drunk and dance with Henchman Man.
I did have just when he arrested the dude and got everybody in the precinct finally behind him, and the freaking captain comes out. I audibly just went yes, which that made me instantly attach that this is my favorite episode. Like I haven't had that kind of reaction come out of me for a show. Probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had an episode of that like last season. Arrow gets that from me every once in a while, and Flash is really big on that. But that's a sign of a really good episode when it elicits an outward response from me.
Yeah, boy.
Just finally, people are not being stupid anymore. and that's the thing. It's one thing to be corrupt.
No Barbara Gordon, or whatever her last name is. No Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, she's horrible. She's so bad.
It's like they just don't know what to do with her.
I think they had these ideas at the
beginning, and then... I don't know. She just kind of...
I'm wondering if that's intentional.
I'm thinking it is. She's probably going to be some villain or hero
or
something.
Or kill or a martyr, and that's the reason why he names his daughter after her.
That too.
I genuinely really enjoyed the emotions that showed in this episode. They were pure... Like, even the extras that they got playing the cops, like, even they were spot on this.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a solid episode. So maybe it was just they got a good director for this one. He was able
maybe.
To pull some decent performances out of everybody.
Maybe.
Because even Nygma, which I've been enjoying him more and more, they're putting him in there just enough. Like they're not overusing him and they're not underusing him. And he always gets a chuckle out of me. And I don't know. As he's his takeout and removing all the onions.
Surgically removing all of his onions while hot file room lady comes in and...
That was very nice.
Yes.
Don't talk to me. Don't say anything else. There's still a chance.
Yeah, right. Just in his internal was just like, yes, still got it.
Just brilliant and
yeah,
just free at the same time.
Oh yeah, he's really good.
How many seasons before he goes full Riddler?
Yeah, right. Wesley Stanzler is the director for this. He's done three episodes of Revenge, the Mama episode of Sleepy Hollow.
That was a good episode.
Oh, he's done four of my favorite episodes of Arrow, too.
There you go.
Vertigo, where you get introduced to Count Vertigo. The League of Assassins, where you get introduced to League of Assassins. Heir to the Demon, where you realize kind of who Talia al Ghul is. And Sarah, because reasons. That episode is a huge spoiler that I'm not even going to ruin. Like, that's...
Okay.
I can't talk about that episode, but it is four of my favorite episodes of that brilliant, brilliant series.
See? There you go.
This guy's done a whole lot of great stuff, like The Left Hand. Which one's this one? He did an episode of Dollhouse. Echo and Emmett have a shocking confrontation in which she reveals the reason for her grudge against... Oh! Yes. That's a great episode, too. Wow. Okay. Yeah, this guy's done, like, pretty much every one of my favorite episodes of each of these series that he's done. So, bring him back. Bring him back.
He has the touch. He connects with ZJ. And apparently with me. Even though, I mean, I've been enjoying Gotham. I just haven't loved Gotham until this episode. This is a really solid episode.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, of course, I mean, I've been kind of willing to give it its shot because, while one, we're talking about it, and... Two, because I really want it to be good, but, like, I'm not going to... I wasn't going to really waste my time with it, especially after season one. I said that last week. If season one can't pull it off, I'm done. If every episode is as good as this episode, I'm sucked in. There's no way you can get rid of it at this point. But, I mean, if they do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. turn and just the rest of the season is awesome... Good. I'm down. I'm so totally in.
So ready for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to come back.
Oh, God, yes. All right. So that's... any more notes on Gotham?
I'm done with Gotham. Let's...
All right. So let's move on into our spoiler shows. First up, yours. My challenge to you. Arrow.
I don't have a ton to say on Arrow. First of all, I didn't take notes.
Episode that he did for Sleepy Hollow. Sorry. It was the episode where... they actually did the stuff with her mom at the psych ward.
Yeah, I know.
I'm horrible with episode titles. Like, I'm so bad with them.
I remember that one. That was a good episode.
All right. So, Arrow.
So, as I said last week, I've only really watched the first four episodes. I haven't really taken any notes. I watched three episodes at one time, so apparently I like the show. And it's entertaining. It's fun. It's... not too heady, but it's still enjoyable. And the last episode I saw was he was getting arrested at the end.
Yeah.
Or maybe the first time, I don't know.
Yeah.
The first time he gets arrested for suspicion of being Green Arrow.
Or the Hood, as they call him in the first season.
The Hood,
season.
Sorry. The Hood.
Or the Vigilante, like... And eventually, they finally realize that that just sounds ridiculous and stop calling him that. They do the same thing in Flash.
Smallville?
Did they do that in
did
Smallville,
you watch
too?
Smallville?
No, I've never watched. I watched the first season of Smallville, and I got...
It gets better around season three. I don't know. Season two is pretty good, I think. I own all 10 seasons because I'm a freak like that, but... like seasons like 8 through 10, when he moves to Metropolis, they refuse for him to be Superman until the show's over. So and he's the Blur.
Okay, yeah. They have a similar thing for Flash where they call him the Streak.
The Streak, yeah.
just like, and eventually he just goes. Even Flash just goes. It literally goes. That sounds absolutely ridiculous. Let's not call me that anymore.
So, yeah, he's the Blur. The Black Blur and the Gold and Blue Blur and all the different colors of Blur.
All of the Blur. Woohoo!
So, and I have been wanting to watch it. It's just been, it was a crazy week, so I had to focus on the shows that we were actually going to talk about for this show.
No, I get that completely. But,
this one is good. The CW-ness of it hasn't, I haven't felt it that much. I don't know if it's because I'm binging it or if I'm, after watching Smallville, I'm just a little more immune to it. Because this one isn't quite as egregious with it as Smallville was.
I mean, you would think that I'd be a little bit more okay with it considering how much, like, Buffy and Angel I digested so quickly.
It's true. I'm also watching Buffy and Angel.
In season one, it got egregious to me. Obviously not to a point where I even thought about leaving the show. Even the CW-ness of it was not too horrible for me. It never gets too bad. It just kind of gets like, man, I really wish they wouldn't do that. And obviously, Steve Arnell's famous shirt allergy.
Yes, his shirt allergy. And the first thing I noticed in the beginning was like, dang, he's not ashamed to kill anybody. He's just airing folks all over the place.
Yep. Straight dunk dead. So, I think they did a
curious to see how they work this stuff out.
Oh, they do work it out. But they did a kill count of it, and it's like they talked about the only single season of deaths that has ever happened in like this kind of show, minus an act of terrorism by a single person. He killed over 100 people in season one.
Jeez.
The only season that got more than that was Breaking Bad, when it was one person technically killing all of those people. Spoiler. Zoom. Teddy Bear in the pool.
Oh, got it.
Teddy Bear in the pool. No. That's all.
Teddy Bear in the pool. That show's been over for a while, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah, I don't know the reason why I'm tiptoeing around it, considering we're inevitably going to have to start talking about it when we start talking about Better Call Saul next week.
Yep. By the way, Better Call Saul premieres this Sunday, everyone.
Yeah, boy.
We're going to talk about it.
Either next week or the week after, depending on when Jazz can watch it.
AMC usually puts the pilots of their stuff up on their website, so
we might take away like Sleepy Hollow or something. I don't know.
I know. I was all ready to throw out Gotham. But
yeah, right. Last episode, literally, we got off the air, and Jazz and I were like, "Oh, Better Call Saul comes out next Sunday. We'll replace Gotham with it, and just Gotham then decides to be really, really awesome."
We'll watch Sleepy Hollow and Gotham, and see which one deserves to be talked about.
Exactly. Obviously, Agent Carter's not going anywhere.
No. That one's good. That one's well suited. And there's only 8 episodes of that. So
yeah,
I'd love to stick around for the whole thing of that.
Oh yeah, no, there's no doubt. It's not that hard. All right. Nope. Moving on into True Detective, AKA what Twin Peaks really wanted to be before David Lynch started taking heroin.
That's what it was. I was trying to remember what thing you said. I was like, man, you're always right about everything, all of these things. And it was the Twin Peaks thing.
Yes.
CJ's like, man, this is like what Twin Peaks wanted to be or should have been. And then like immediately the same day, I was reading an article and the director is talking about how he got his influence from Twin Peaks. CJ.
And then you mentioned, so a spoiler happens. I'm like, oh, you mean that girl? Yes. I spy tropes, and this show is trope-alicious in the best way. Yeah. This show is so troped out to the max.
Well, it's True Detective. It's based on a pulp novel, so
yeah,
it's all about the tropes.
I watched 3 episodes of the 8 of season 1. The first episode, as usual for pilots, either I love them or hate them. I didn't particularly care for the pilot of this series, but It got way better even in just episode 2. Like, I did not dig the pilot too much.
Yeah, it's a little jarring, and you kind of got to get used to everything. Because I watched the pilot and thought the same thing. Because I remember I watched the pilot and I was like, because everybody was just freaking out about how great this show was, and I watched it and I thought it was really, really good and well executed and stuff, but it didn't really grab me. And then I think a week later, I watched the second episode, and then I watched an episode every night until I was finished.
Yeah, I had to rip myself away from it to rewatch Agent Carter in Gotham, but I'm going back to it, and I'll probably, knowing me, I'll probably end up finishing it this week before the next show, at least.
Again, there's only 8 episodes, so
yeah,
not too hard.
Yeah,
and it's good.
Oh man. My god, it is so good. When the hell did freaking McConaughey start being able to act?
Or I don't know.
Or is it just
man.
So like? Or is it just so that we have Dazed and Confused so engraved in our heads that he can't not be that?
I don't know.
Like, I went back and he's done a bunch of stuff lately that's been really great. Like, Moon was fantastic.
Moon, or Dirt, rather.
One of those one-word movies. Dirt, I think it was, yeah.
There's Mud and...
Mud, there we go.
Lincoln Lawyer and... what else? And
the Dallas Buyers Club, for some reason, doing a lot of freaking Oscar stuff lately, and I'm like, really? McConaughey won an Oscar? Wait, what? I gotta watch Dallas Buyers Club, by the way. It just reminded me.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet either.
But, like, he's just... so amazing in this series. Like, he's Albert from Twin Peaks amped up to the awesome. He's so great.
Completely nihilistic.
Yes. It's fantastic.
Whereas Albert was a Buddhist or something. I forget.
Yeah. But it's so amazing. What is it? Some kind of hillbilly bunny ranch?
Yes.
You shouldn't talk like that, but yes. seeing him interact with prostitutes is fantastic too. They're like, oh, we ain't gonna talk to you, you're a cop, because I really don't give a shit about busting you. I'm homicide. I don't even care.
Yes.
Give me some drugs because I can't sleep.
Yeah, I can't sleep. Is there anybody who can hook me up with some stuff? Like, really?
Yeah, I like how he befriends prostitutes as he goes through the entire series. Like, they're all like, okay, I'm ready for you to take me. You're my best friend now. He goes, nah, I'm good.
No, I'm not interested in that. I just want some drugs.
Yeah, right? It's so great, like, seeing him interact with these people. They're like, but you're a cop and I'm giving you drugs. At least you want to do is, you know, stick it in me. Nah, all right.
No.
Unlike freaking Woody Harrelson, who's the biggest schmuck in the world, and has all of these strangely enough, has all of these really hot women diving all over him. Like,
I don't understand. This goobery looking dude. Just
oh yeah, and he's still Woody Harrelson, like amped up to 11 in this show, yeah. Man. Like, McConaughey surprised me. Woody Harrelson, not so much.
I mean, Woody Harrelson's great,
but he's still Woody Harrelson. Like,
he's solid, but.
Yeah, it's still him. If you've seen him in anything, it's just him amped up to, like, the max. But, like, yeah, all
with
the, like...
Louisiana accent.
Yeah, I mean, his wife is hot. Like, his girlfriends are all hot. Like, like, how? I don't understand. The one thing I do... I mean, I don't like time jumps in shows. Like, the mockumentary thing. I don't like that. I've never liked that, and I don't like it in this. That's the only thing that I don't like about this. I mean, the pacing is perfect for what it's there for. It's slow. It's almost glacial, but it has to be. That's what, like, you are going through the process of finding, like, going through this case that is going to completely destroy these guys' world, as you can tell.
Yeah, and it all the time jump stuff kind of comes back around, and
I figured it would,
and it shifts to present, like. You don't go into the past anymore. Probably around episode 6 or 7. I can't remember exactly.
So just in time for the big Act 3 wrap up.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Again, tropes. I mean, every shot is deliberate and really well done. The editing is so tight in this.
Yeah, and you're about to get into episode, is it 4 or 5 that has the
6 minute single shot?
Single. Oh my. Gosh.
I remember hearing about that online when it happened, and I am a huge fan of those. Like, even the 2 minute one on Game of Thrones last season, I love when they do that, because you have to be a master at your art to do that.
I know. It's 7 minutes.
Yeah,
long.
Like, you. I mean, to go that long for a single shot, like that.
It's
that
like
is
intense. Scene of like stuff and like all everything. I'd wait till you watch it. Never mind. I'll wait till you watch it.
We'll be able to talk about it next week. Like I said, there's a fair chance I'm going to finish off the entire series by the time we talk next.
Probably. If you're like me, you'll finish.
I'll be finishing it. I'm like, even this morning or this afternoon on my lunch, like, I had to watch Gotham because I hadn't caught up on it yet. And like, before I turned it on, of course, before I turned Gotham on, because like after last week's lull, I'm like, man, I'd really rather be watching True Detective than this.
Aren't you glad you forced it down?
But I mean, True Detective is so brilliant. I'm so excited to actually start. And again, this show was on my radar. It's not like I was like, oh, I'm never going to watch this. This was on my radar. It just never happened to be. Mainly because this is not Rachel's kind of show. This is not a show that Rachel would get into at all. It is too slow to keep Rachel's attention. So it would just be me watching it for my sake. This show, S4, gives me that outlet to be able to watch things like this that I wanted to watch, just never. I'm like,
yeah. Same here.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Have you watched the Percy Jackson movies?
Not yet. No, I watched Lightning Thief.
Okay.
I heard the second one was a lot better, which is good because I hated Lightning Thief.
The second one was pretty good. I'm just wondering if you recognized the girl's, I can't remember her name, the main girl from Percy Jackson. That's Woody
Annabelle?
Harrelson's girlfriend.
Oh!
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn!
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. I think I might have to go back and rewatch Percy Jackson now. I mean, I thought she was cute in Percy Jackson, but in that kind of like weird, I think she's underage, but she's still cute kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, damn. You see all the behind the scenes of that girl.
nothing for the imagination there.
Nope.
Anyway,
dang way, let's go ahead and wrap this up. You can get all of our stuff for the entire network over at geek-io.net. Contact us is geekioshow@gmail.com, geekioshow on Twitter, on Facebook. If you want to help us out at all, if you get some kind of enjoyment off of this, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/geekio, to help out everything here on the Geek.io network, from the main show to this, to everything else that we possibly ever do. Did I really just turn off my thing instead of my freaking... I sure did. Damn it. That's what I wanted to turn off. Where's the button? There's the button. There's the button.
There's the button. How do I button the button?
You head over there. If you want to look around all the ways that you could support the network, head over to geek-io.net/support. Anything else before we wrap up?
Good night, everyone.
Indeed. Thank you for
listening.
Don't
follow the Yellow King.
Yeah, that weird...
Run away from the Yellow King.
Weird goat guy. All right, guys.
You have no idea.
I have no idea. I was going to call you the Yellow King, too, and you're like, you better not call me the Yellow King. I'm like, okay.
No.
All right. So we'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Bye. This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek and Geek.io.